Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. We have my very, 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 very best producer, Lizzie Steele, is making all the technology work. And she's going to answer your phone calls and get you on the board. And she's waiting for that, aren't you, Lizzie?
I am. I'm sitting here and just chomping at the bit.
If you missed the first hour, you missed my discussion with Dana Venrick on edible plants and fruit trees for Mother's Day, including the healthiest plant you can eat and grow in your yard. If you have an edible yard, you're going to want to have this plant in your yard. It provides all the nutrition, vitamins, and proteins your body needs. You missed my top five favorite perfumes with floral scents for Mother's Day. And you can listen to Better Lawns and Gardens on iHeartRadio every Saturday morning here, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., or 24/7 when you listen to the podcast, so they can go anywhere and listen to it. So now we have, coming up, the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is kalanchoe, K-A-L-A-N-C-H-O-E. Now, Americans pronounce it kalanchoe, while the British say kalancho. And kalanchoe is a genus of about 125 species of tropical succulent plants in the stonecrop family. And it's mainly native to Madagascar and tropical Africa. The genus kalanchoe was first described by the French botanist Michel Anderson in 1763. Anderson cited George Joseph Camel as his source for the name. The name came from Cantonese. Kalanchoes are shrubs or perennial herbaceous plants, but a few are annual or biennial. The largest kalanchoe, Berehensis from Madagascar, can reach 20 feet tall, but most species are less than 3 feet tall. Kalanchoes open their flowers by growing new cells on the inner surface of their petals to force them outwards and on the outside of petals to close them. Kalanchoe flowers are divided into four sections with eight stamens. The petals are fused into a tube. The majority of kalanchoes require about 6 to 8 hours of sunlight a day. A few cannot tolerate this and survive with bright indirect sunlight to bright shade. Certain varieties of kalanchoe are also known as alligator plant or mother of thousands, hence its appropriateness for Mother's Day. It prefers to grow in rocky and dry places. It has become an invasive plant and does threaten natural ecosystems, especially in arid and semi-arid environments such as South Africa and regions of South America. All parts of the species contain a very toxic steroid. As a succulent plant, kalanchoe can survive prolonged periods of drought with little or no water. During growth periods with higher temperatures and increased water supply, this species requires proper nutrition without which leaves show deficiency symptoms such as crippled growth. The plant is not frost hardy and typically dies in places where temperatures are below freezing. A kalanchoe species was one of the first plants to be sent into space, sent on a resupply to the Soviet Salyut 1 space station in 1979. Kalanchoe are known for its remarkable ability to produce plantlets along the edges of its leaves. These plantlets can grow into new plants when they fall to the ground. In fact, kalanchoes are also known as bad mothers because they drop their babies. Common names for kalanchoe are velvet leaf, panda plant, pussy ears, donkey ears, paddle plant and red pancakes and flapjacks, chandelier plant, spotted kalanchoe, tiger strips, and life plant. So kalanchoes, kalanchos, make wonderful collections if you like to have different pots and collect them, all the different varieties. But they are wonderful succulents and very nice for Mother's Day.
They're very pretty.
They are. They bloom lovely. I love their blooms. They're such bright colors, hot pink, yellow, even a deep red. So they're very nice. I like them. I just don't like them dropping their babies. That's the only thing. So we have going to have a great morning all on your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I've got some questions on how to turn your hydrangea pink and blue. I'll let you know that. Pat from Melbourne has a great question on her hibiscus tree. And Linda is wondering, is carnation the Mother's Day flower? She always thought it was gardenias. And I think it can be anything. I don't necessarily think there's one set flower.
No, because there's some that don't like gardenias or doesn't like
exactly.
this or that.
So. And I have that coming up. We're going to be talking about Mother's Day and all the different plants coming up. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. I'd like to thank Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist Nursery, for calling in and helping us with our fruit trees. He's got wonderful plants at Quality Green Specialist. And then remember, Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland has a Mother's Day talk on butterfly gardening at 9:30 a.m. Bring a chair. It's going to be outside. It's going to be a beautiful morning for it. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This hour is a chance for you to get your call in early and get your questions answered. 1-888-455-2967. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. Let's go to somebody in Orlando. It says, this is a text message. In Orlando, I have a copper plant planted in the front of my house. It's 2 feet tall. Should I move it to another location, and will it not get too big? Okay, so the copper leaf, the Acalypha, is a wonderful plant. It takes full sun, or it can take a little bit of partial shade. It does get big depending on the variety, so I don't know what variety you have. But the good thing about it is that once it gets to be the height you like, you can cut it back anytime during the summertime. So I would probably say cutting it in August will keep it at the height that you want. If you do want to move it to another location, then you can go ahead and do that now. But it does get to be probably, again, depending on the variety, 4 to 6 feet tall. Okay, but now here's the great part about copperleaf plants. That anything you cut off, you can make new plants with it. You can propagate it. Okay, so you take 6 to 8 inches of the stems that you cut, and you put them in a pot and put it underneath the tree, keep it moist, and it will grow a whole new plant for you. Okay, so it's not a difficult plant to prune. They don't get woody. They're more like coleuses when I think about them. They're just lovely. I love copper leaves. So then Pat in Melbourne says, my hibiscus tree, she planted it 2 months ago, has aphids. Do I have to buy neem oil, or is there something else I can use? We leave for the north in June. I don't have much hope it will survive the bugs. Any advice? Thanks, Pat. Pat, I'm just concerned that you just planted it, and 2 months, it already has aphids. So I'm concerned about the location, that it's up next to the house, it doesn't get good air circulation, or that it's not getting enough sunlight, or it's not getting enough water. One of those three things possibly is a problem. So I want to make sure that it's in the right place. Hibiscus trees need full sun and good air circulation, not up against a house or two walls where there's no wind going through. Okay, so now you can buy a number of different products to take care of it. My main concern with the hibiscus getting an insecticide is that hibiscus does not like to have chemical treatments at all. But you're going to need to use something, all right? And so you can use BioAdvance 3-in-1 systemic. That's what I suggest, is the systemic, because the neem oil, it's a little too hot for it right now, especially if it is in full sun. And then the time of year, you could burn some of the leaves. If you do use neem oil, which you can use, I would do it in the early morning or late at night. You can also use Captain Jack's insecticide insect control. Then BioAdvance 3-in-1 I mentioned. Then you can also use a product called Garden Safer, and it's insecticidal soap. Follow the instructions for all of it. More is not better, so follow the instructions to a T. And Pat, you may have to do a double application before you leave. So you'll apply it next week, and then about the end of May, apply it again before you leave. And it should be okay. It should recover, not a problem. I'm glad you caught it, though. So make sure it's in the right location. That'll make it really a lot healthier for it. Hi, Teresa. Is it possible to prune small crepe myrtles into a bush rather than have it get tall like a tree? If you print it, are you able to propagate a new plant from that cutting? Thank you. Well, yes. So crepe myrtles are basically tall shrubs. Depending on the variety, they can get to be 40 feet tall or just stay 6 to 8 feet. But there are crepe myrtles on the market now that they are trimming and maintaining them as a shrub. So you just want to make sure that if you do this, it's something that's going to be needed to be done on a frequent basis, because the woodier it gets, the it doesn't look as good if it's not cut correctly. So you want to keep pruning it as it starts to get taller. The other thing is if you prune it often like that into a bush, you're never going to get the flowers. All right, so that's a difficult thing. So I would just, if you haven't bought it yet or you don't have one yet, make sure you just get a small crepe myrtle. And there are bush varieties. If you'll email our betterlawns.com website, you can just email us and I will send you varieties that you can do that too. So that's a great question. Now, can you propagate a new plant from the cutting? You sure can. Take a stem 6 to 8 inches, cut diagonally so that you don't disturb the circulation system too much. 6 to 8 inches, cut diagonally, and strip the lower, I would say, 4 or 5 leaves so that you don't have leaves under the ground. And then put it in a pot, keep it moist, and within 6 to 8 weeks, you should have roots on it. And I would keep it in the pot till it's about 1 foot tall to 2 foot tall, and then you can put it in the ground if you want. Great question. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So Mother's Day, the founder, Anna Jarvis, she wanted to celebrate mothers, and she fought for the holiday, but she did not like the commercialization of the holiday. Well, that didn't go so well because it's very commercialized now.
Mm-hmm.
And but it became an official U.S. holiday in 1914, signed into law by President Woodrow Wilson, who himself had a mother. So Mother's Day is the second Sunday of the month, and more than 100 countries around the world celebrate or recognize Mother's Day on their own particular respective dates. So I think that's just lovely. With Mother's Day tomorrow, a lot of people are still on the hunt for gifts. You can go to Quality Green Specialist Nursery or Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland if you're down in Polk County. And so flowers are usually the main go-to for gifts. What I thought was cool was Uber Eats has crunched the numbers from last year to reveal the most popular Mother's Day gifts in each state, and roses came out on the top 36 states. Now, California, Texas, Florida, Illinois, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, they were among those where mothers were likely showered with roses. A combination of roses and lilies were more popular in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Wisconsin. And New Yorkers, on the other hand, they prefer tulips, while customers in New Jersey and Massachusetts and Alaska opted for mixed bouquets.
Hmm. Okay.
And
that's
so
interesting.
It is. It's the different states what they like to eat to give their mothers for Mother's Day. So you can do that. Give your mother's Mother's Day gift. We sent ours up last week, and so Tony's mom is going to be getting that. And so we can't wait to talk to her tomorrow.
Yes.
And wish her a happy Mother's Day. Also, too, Other popular gifts besides flowers were special outings for dinner or brunch. We're doing that tonight. Handmade gifts and gift cards and jewelry. And so jewelry is a nice gift as well. It is something that can be passed down from grandmother to mother to granddaughter. So I think a jewelry is a nice gift,
yes,
too, as well.
And make sure that if you aren't currently wearing it, that whatever you're keeping it in, that there's some type of tag or information on it. Because if something happens and you haven't informed the children or grandchildren, then they may see it and think it's junk jewelry and toss it out.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Oh, I'm telling you, that is so true. Just have everything evaluated and rated before you throw it away. Even the littlest things. It's just it's sad to see it go. But, you know, you can't keep everything, too, as well. But if it's valuable, you might as well get some money for it.
That's true.
You know, so that's really good. How can you change your hydrangeas from blue to pink? Well, do you like the blue ones or the pink ones? So French hydrangeas can come in either color. And the secret is the acidity of the soil. So if you would like the blue flowers, your soil needs to have a low pH, very acidic, 4.4 to 5 at the most. And if you like the pink ones, you want to have a high alkaline acidity rating. And so that's 7 and above. And on the coast, you can get that with the alkaline with the salt water. But you also, so most of the hydrangeas I see are purple. And what that means is that you have a neutral soil. It's not too acidic. It's not too alkaline. And I love the color of the purple ones. But if you want specifically a blue one or a pink one, you have to work on it. And it doesn't stay the same. So if you change it to blue, it's going to revert back to what it wants to be. So you're going to have to constantly put in either the soil sulfur to lower it. Okay, aluminum sulfate is what is usually used, but you want to be very careful because it could add aluminum toxicity to your soil. But also the pink ones is dolomite lime. You can add that as needed and just keep checking the soil pH.
Are you kidding me?
No.
There isn't.
It's a lot of work.
But no, the fact is that, you know, whenever I bought them in the past, I'm like, oh, okay, I bought some pink ones. Oh, and look, there's some white ones. Oh, and then I want some, do you have any blue ones? Whenever I'd ask people, oh, no, we're out of blue ones. Really, all I had to do is just change that?
Yes, change the pH.
I'm going to start just finding
people. But you really have to work on it, and you have to get the amounts, you know, so the amount of what you're adding, either the aluminum sulfate or the lime, dolomite lime, you really have to stay on top of it. And so I think you should plant native oak leaf hydrangeas, which are a creamy white all year round. And you don't have to change the pH at all.
Okay, there you go. So you just very simple.
And they're beautiful. They are have such beautiful flowers, and they turn brilliant red in the fall. So I love oak leaf hydrangeas. I try to use them everywhere I can. They do lose their leaves in the wintertime. But they turn brilliant red before you leave. And they have big, huge oak leaves.
Really?
Yeah. They're quite attractive all year round. And so I love the oak leaf hydrangea. And you don't have to worry about changing the pH. So that's too much work for me. And so I rather do not have to add any kind of change the pH of any plant. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you missed any of today's show from early morning, the first hour, to this hour, you can always hear them on the iHeart podcast. You can just search for Teresa Watkins, Better Lawns and Gardens, or you can, wherever you're listening to podcasts, you can find Better Lawns and Gardens. So we love to know you're out there. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. So Helen is a longtime listener. She enjoys the show. She said, good afternoon. We have a back bed that gets 8 to 10 hours of summer sunlight, and we took out 6 dying dead hibiscus almost 2 years ago. We replaced with azaleas, but they have died twice. What could be planted in this space that is red and can tolerate lots of sun? We have replaced the soil after the last set of azaleas died, but I think it was the wrong plant for the space. Any advice? And I will say, yes, I think that the azaleas in a full sun area, even if you tried to water them, they may not have lasted. So it's the wrong plant for the wrong place. So azaleas need full shade. So she has irrigation. So what kind of plants that are red, that flower red, she can have? So I'm going to go down the list, okay, and I'll go slowly. You can have red pentas, jatropha, red salvias, red drift roses, red lantana, red knockout roses, red amaryllis. You can do annuals such as red zinnias and gaillardias. You can do red cannas. You can do camellia yuletide. I'm seeing a song start here. You can plant encore azaleas. These are azaleas that are especially grown for sunny areas. So, Helen, that gives you a few choices you can try. So thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I really do appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in Winter Park. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. We have a hedge of viburnum that is declining. It looks like it's suffering from male pattern baldness.
Yes. Okay. How long have they been in the ground?
About 15, 18 years.
Okay. It's about time. You know, sometimes when we cut back plants on a regular basis and we don't necessarily change the position or we hedge trim them quite frequently in the same place, they start to get dieback. And that dieback, we really don't understand the reasoning for it. But it happens to shrubs that have been pruned often over years. So it just may be time for them to decline. But also, too, I want to just throw in the drought there. Even despite you having irrigation, if you have irrigation on them, they may not have really, they may have stressed out too much with the drought. And so the drought, you know, heavy pruning, and do you fertilize it?
On occasion, not regularly, though.
Yeah, so it just may not be the healthiest, and I just kind of think that after, you know, 10, 15 years, just changing plants out. Now, you can plant another viburnum in there because it's not really dying from a disease, okay? They're just stressed out. So I would, you know, if you wanted to replace it with another viburnum, you can go ahead and do that.
Okay, I noticed that the growth, there is some new growth at the base for the tops. Are thinned out, or they just look bad.
Okay, and so when you trim them, Bill, do you trim them straight?
Sorry, would you repeat that?
Pardon me?
I couldn't hear. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I said when you trim them, do you trim them straight down in the hedge?
Yes.
Okay, so that could also be where they're not getting enough sunlight in certain areas. So what you want to do, one, make sure you have clean, sterilized tools when you're trimming any kind of shrub. But you want to make the top a little bit thinner than the bottom. You want the bottom to be able to get more sunlight. Okay, so sometimes when we trim them straight down, we get that bare bottom syndrome. And we can see right through the plants. And so that may be a little bit of the issue, too, as well.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome, Bill. Thank you. Let me know how they do. Let me know what you decide on. Let's go to Scott in Palm Bay. Good morning, Scott. How can I help you?
Hi, Teresa. Love the show.
Thank you.
I have a weeping hibiscus, and some of the weeping branches are all the way down on the ground. Will those branches become a bug highway?
Not necessarily. So how tall is it?
The weeping hibiscus,
yes.
She's probably about 8 foot tall.
Wow, and they go all the way down to the ground. I bet it's beautiful.
Yeah, I, I called a couple weeks ago. I got some shoots that still go straight up, and I'm thinking about leveling them off. I don't want them any taller than that.
Right. I agree with you. I remember the call now. What I would do with a weeping hibiscus is kind of leave it 2 to 3 feet off the ground if it's that tall, and just have it weeping over, be a canopy, an umbrella type shape. And if they go down to the ground and they stay there long enough and we get enough rainfall or irrigation on it or kind of dirt on it, they may root themselves. And I don't necessarily know if you want them to do that.
No, I haven't got no room. It's pretty packed with plants as it is.
So yeah.
No more room.
Okay, so I would leave it up, okay? And then just, and that may be, how wide is it?
Probably a good 6 foot wide.
Wow, it's doing really well.
Yeah, it's a crazy plant. It's not your typical weeping. It's kind of a crossbreed and in between, it seems like, but it's flowering real nice right now, so that's what I'm after.
Wonderful. And so I wouldn't really cut too much on it while it's flowering. I would enjoy the blooms. But here's the other thing, is that sometimes plants revert back to what they should be. So the weeping hibiscus is not necessarily a whole different plant, a genus plant. So it may revert back to being just a regular hibiscus bush, which means that the branches go straight up. So that may be the other issue, too. I'd love to see a photo of it, and it can help me out a little bit more.
Oh, I didn't know it. Teresa, before you go, could I ask you about lawns real quick?
Sure.
I fertilized in mid-February, and I know it's early, and it didn't show any dividends. The lawn looks worse than it ever has. And I called actually a couple of weeks ago. I said measles in my yard, and you said it sounds like a fungus. Well, it's been verified. Yes, it's a fungus. I adjusted, had the irrigation adjusted now, so it comes on 8 hours later, closer to morning.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, that should help out a lot. But my lawn is very weak, and because the lawn isn't really grown, the weeds have come in galore. I've got weeds,
yeah.
But I've got something my neighbor uses on his floor, Tam, so I'm feeling good that I'm going to treat that. But now going in before the ban on June 1st,
mm-hmm.
Do you think I need to fertilize with an all-purpose fertilizer again, or maybe just iron? What are your thoughts?
Well, the iron's only going to green it up. It's not going to tell it to grow. So go ahead, and I would just use a regular lawn fertilizer and do that. Now's a good time. If you've gotten enough rain and your lawn is good, it's not stressed out, you know, it's got open blades that look good, go ahead and fertilize it now before June, and that'll help it grow.
Thank you so much for all your intelligence, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate it.
I don't think I've ever been accused of intelligence before, but thank you, Scott. Oh, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you missed any of today's show, you can go to our iHeartRadio page. You can go to WFLA Orlando. You can see it. You can listen to it on podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, too, please go to our Facebook page and like us. We've had a lot of great people. I don't have time to go through the names because we've got questions. But thank you so much for liking our Facebook page and reviewing our show. We really do. You can give us 5 stars if you like. We really do appreciate it. So Dave and Jill, they're in Stuart, Florida. They said they removed a traveling palm from the southeast side of the house. The area does get some sun. I plugged some of the area, but would like to plant a flowering something in front of the window. It's about 10 feet wide. We do have irrigation. And so, well, this is wonderful. So it depends on your sunlight area, but I'm going to assume when you say some sun, that it's either getting morning sun or afternoon sun, Dave. Okay, so here's my recommendations, but make sure that you have a good, at least 5 to 6 hours of sunlight. One, you can do hibiscus. Look at the Hollywood hibiscus at your local nursery. It doesn't get really tall. It's a wonderful plant gets to be about 4 feet tall, and you don't have to cut it. Spiral ginger will bloom in full sun or partial shade. Canna lilies also, too, can take a little bit of shade. Pentas and African iris. African iris blooms in sun or shade. They're just a wonderful workhorse in the garden. I love them. Bird of paradises, apostle irises, and foxtail ferns. Okay, you can also do alocasia and colocasia. Those are the elephant ears, but they are not the taro, which is considered invasive. We don't want you to plant that. But the alocasia and the colocasia, they have varieties that have black or deep burgundy leaves. Wonderful, just gorgeous. Then also loropetalum can take a little bit of shade. And then caladiums. Caladiums are a really great choice, and the benefit of those is you plant a few and they multiply. So they just keep going and going. Curcumas, which are also called Siam tulips, they are wonderful. Whirling butterflies. When I was up in South Carolina this month, I saw whirling butterflies in the shade blooming their little hearts out. So that made me feel really good because I consider them a full sun plant. But now I know they will grow with some shade. So they're just wonderful. We have them growing in our yard, and they've just really taken off. It looks like there's butterflies in our yard all the time. Then blue days can take a little bit of shade. And then lantana. So if you have at least 5 to 6 hours of sunlight, all of those plants will work, Dave and Jill. So let me know what you get, and I would love to hear about that. So we've had a lot of few questions over desert roses. And much to my, surprise, Lizzie, you were just talking about the loquats. You didn't know they came in so many different varieties.
Yes.
I did not know. This is just me. I'm just telling you. They get to be 20 feet tall. I have never seen one that's 20 feet tall. I've never seen one that is 10 feet tall. I've seen them 3, 4. I've even seen them 5 feet tall, but never 10 or 20 foot tall.
So do you need a trellis?
No. These are big bulbous plants, and so they get, the base is kind of like a ponytail, okay. But they're a succulent. And so they are beautiful, beautiful, fragrant flowers. It's a succulent from Africa, and the plants have swollen, contorted trunks on them. They have bright pink and sometimes a little bit of red flowers to them. And so they're great for, you don't have to pay them a lot of attention because they're succulents and they hold all onto the water. But they're quite unusual. They take full sun location in a window. You can put them on your patio, in your pool area. So how do you take care of them? You want to water when the surface is dry to the touch. Always, this is the greatest tool you could ever do, finding out how often you need to water, is stick your finger in the ground. If it's cool, damp, or moist, you don't need to water it. Same with the desert roses, the adeniums. You don't need to water them frequently. It's a good plant if you travel a lot. When repotting, you want to use cactus soil. They like that sandy conditions. Think Africa. And then you want to feed it every other week with a 20-20-20. Make sure it's a diluted solution. And then also, too, you got to protect it from freezing. So they are susceptible to scale and mites, so you want to keep keep a watch on that. But if you want them to grow taller, you don't necessarily need to cut them back. You want to fertilize and let them grow and then have a base that can expand. That way they will grow. The bigger the base of the plant, the taller it's going to get. So those are the desert roses, and I wanted to make sure that I caught up with those. And so I just want to wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful, happy Mother's Day. We enjoy hearing from you. I love getting your messages, your emails, your gardening questions. And I just think everybody out there, we just had the best audience, Lizzie. And so you can also check out on our website, betterlawns.com. You can hear the show there, too, as well. So then also... remember, Quality Green Specialist Nursery, stop by and bring your mother and let her pick out her own gift, or stop by and get a gift certificate. That's at 331 West Michigan Street, Indoland, and then also to Peterson's Nursery, 9:30 today. Bring a chair.
Yes.
You're going to be out and wear a hat because of the sun. You want to make sure that you're not going to get sunburned today.
Yes.
And then we're going to get rain through Tuesday. So everyone, if your irrigation systems come on, don't let me see that. I'm just going to stop by and knock on your door.
She will not.
I will not do that.
In her mind, she will.
In my mind, I will. I'll be smacking you around. But if your irrigation system comes on over the next few days, you know you do not have a rain sensor shutoff device that is working.
Yes.
And that's required by law.
And that's actually good because then as we get into like hurricane season, then the more rain we end up getting, then you're already going to be set up for success for years to turn off.
Right, exactly. And then also, too, the ground's not going to be saturated, so you're not going to get the flooding. And you're not going to pay an expensive water bill. So this is very, very important. So I do appreciate it. I am looking forward to this weekend and looking forward to gardening. I have a lot of different activities coming up in the next week. Send me your emails and your gardening questions. I don't mind.
Yes. Now, I sent you a picture of what I call the Grinch fingers. That plant that looks like the Grinch fingers.
Okay.
And you were talking about how we could break them apart at the root of the ball. So
Grinch fingers. I'm trying to remember the picture.
They're green and they're long. They look like, to me, they look like Grinch fingers. If you look on your text message.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about adding those to my hibiscus because to me, that would be like literally the only, you know, thing that would go with, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, no, my points at us.
Did you send it to me? Oh, there you go. Oh, those are foxtail ferns. Okay, foxtail ferns are great. Yes. Grinch fingers.
Do they not look like Grinch fingers?
No, they don't. Right. Foxtail ferns. And so, and what was your question?
And you can split them apart, right?
You can. They've got little bulbettes on them, bulbs on the root system. And if you plant those bulbs, you'll get more too anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
My African violets are everything that broke off when I was transporting them. They have all rooted. You would not believe even broken leaves have rooted just by placing them in the water.
Yes.
So, Linda, thank you for your happy Mother's Day. She is such a great listener and listens to us all the time. We want to wish Bev in Tallahassee a happy Mother's Day and everyone out there.
So. Eileen, she's listening.
She's
doing her thing. So
there you go. Yep. Wonderful. Well, we miss hearing from you and happy Mother's Day out there.
Yep. And happy Mother's Day to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
So definitely.
And even the ones with fur babies.
Yes. I'm telling you what, people discredit that. And I'm telling you, they are just as important.
Oh, I have a friend, Carrie. And she is a mother. She rescued, not rescues, but she takes in kittens before they're adopted. And she's always got kittens in her house. And they're just her fur babies. And she does such a great job.
She fosters them. That's so sweet.
She does.
God bless you.
She fosters them, yes. And the kittens love her. And she socializes them. And they're all wonderful. Our cats are not socialized. All right. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.